Lynn did a great job in the podcast of highlighting Eve's many, many qualities, her intelligence, her independence, her creativity, all of the character qualities. It was a very encouraging podcast. So if you haven't heard it, I encourage you to go do that. But in this text, there are also some warnings for us today. And so some red flags that I kind of feel responsible to talk about. As you know, there's lots of ways to go in these. I started down several paths. They wouldn't right themselves. I took that as God saying, this is not the path I want you on. I really wanted to go down the male-female relationship path because I have so much experience with Harold that applies to all of you. And also, I did extensive research. I went to the Barbie movie. I'm just telling you, it wasn't what I expected. It's worth it. And it tells the story of the Garden of Eden from Barbie's perspective. It actually really does. So that was fun. Talk about strong helpmate versus strong hindrance. There was a lot in there. But anyway, that one didn't work. Then I decided I would talk about the blame game. You know, they sounded like two-year-olds. It's her fault. It's his fault. Well, really, God, it's your fault. That didn't work. Then I thought, I'll talk about the dangers of independence and thinking you can do it all. And, you know, because, like, none of us have that problem, right? That didn't work. And so clearly, at this point, I just sat down and said, you know, all right, what do you want? That's always a dangerous prayer. The Holy Spirit said, you see your own sin in someone else. You got to talk about it. And I went, I don't really want to do that. But today we're going to talk about temptation. Because temptation is behind all of the sins of controlling and jealousy and anger and manipulation and all those other things that we get into that we see in this text today. Temptation's behind it all. So I'm going to talk about that today. temptation can be defined as an opportunity to accomplish something in a good something in a bad way. Right? An opportunity to accomplish a good thing in a bad way. And we can learn a lot about that from this text about Eve. As I said, I see my own sin in her. And from the talk in the leaders' meeting, I think a lot of people identified with this aspect of this story that was going on. So we're going to talk about that. I'm not going to review because y'all are pretty familiar with the story and you will be real familiar with it after you go over it in your lessons today. But I just want to say one thing. And that is that Genesis chapter 3 is the pivot point of the Bible. If you don't get Genesis chapter 3, the rest of the entire scriptures will not make sense to you. Because if there wasn't a fall, we wouldn't need a Savior. And the rest of the story, which is building toward the birth of Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, we wouldn't need. So this is a real critical part of scripture that we understand. Satan presents himself. I'm not going to talk too much about him, except to say that like most Old Testament people, his names tell you his character. Okay? From other parts of the text, we have a lot of names for Satan. One of them is Satan. That means adversary, the splitter. One is Apollyon out of Revelations. That's the destroyer. The devil means slanderer. He is also called at various places a dragon, a roaring lion, the evil one, the god of this age, murderer, the father of lies, and his personal favorite is Lucifer because he comes disguised as an angel of light. So those names are really all we need to know about the enemy. They're the things he does. He hates godly things. He hates God. He wants to disrupt and corrupt everything that is good. So that's what he goes about doing. Deception is his primary weapon. We see that in how he went about deceiving Eve. Okay? Now, it's important at this point to recognize that temptation is not the same as a test. Temptation never comes from God. Being tested can come from God. Okay, so how do you tell the difference? God never tests contrary to his word. Never tests contrary to his word. Satan always tempts contrary to his word, which is what he did with Eve in this text that you're going to look at today. He moved her. He focused on her doubt. He inserted a doubt into her. And then he gradually moved her from deception to doubt to discontent because he focused her in another direction. And that's kind of how he works. He closed the trap by inserting his own lie for God's truth. And she fell for it. Eve was deceived, okay? Now, I want to say one thing before we go on to how we deal with all of this. And that is, Eve was deceived by Satan. She took the fruit and she ate it. Adam was standing right there. He was not deceived. He sinned wide open eyes. So Adam's sin of disobedience is what carries the weight of the condemnation in Scripture. The Bible never, never gives Eve the responsibility for the fall. People do, stories do, down through the ages that's happened, but the Bible lays the responsibility at Adam's feet. So we need to remember that because somebody got real upset about it this morning. Of course, the result is tragedy. They don't escape the consequences like Satan told them they would and blah, blah, blah. Okay. How does this apply to us? We can see Adam and Eve making tiny little steps away from God, little bitty ones, probably ones they didn't notice. It's like when you're flying. If you are the tiniest bit off on your compass heading, you can end up way off course and actually lost. And that's how temptation works with us. It just gets us a little bit off course. So what do we need to know? We need to know our enemy. Talked about him a little bit. He comes disguised. He looks beautiful, friendly, appears harmless, and I'm sure he has a very winsome voice. Did God really say, oh, surely you won't die? And we listen to that, right? We are easily deceived by something that appears to be good, okay? So one way to judge that is, do you see splitting anywhere? If you see splitting in your relationships, in your family, in the church, in organizations, among your friends, wherever it is, even within yourself, that's not the work of God. That's the work of the enemy. And that's one way we recognize it. So know our enemy. The second thing is know yourself. Be aware of the places where you're vulnerable. And we can probably all name that. But another important thing is be aware when you are vulnerable. Is it when you're tired? Is it when you've just had a great success and you're riding high? Is it when you're anxious? Is it when it involves your family? Mine, if you're on Mopac driving, there's a lot of temptation for me on Mopac driving. Whatever it is, just be aware of when you are most subject to temptation, okay? Third thing is know God. Know God. Know his character. Know his voice. Know the way he operates. They train tellers to recognize counterfeit bills by never letting them touch a counterfeit. They train them on real bills. And pretty soon, they're so well trained that out of a stack of this, they can throw out the one counterfeit because it doesn't feel right. Well, that's like it is with God, okay? You only recognize the counterfeit when you know the real deal. So get in the Word. Know God. Know his voice. Know his voice so that any other voice sounds counterfeit to you. And when you're in the Word, get it right. Not almost right, which is what Eve did. Particularly if you sense yourself pushing back on a verse or a scripture or a story, or you're arguing with what's in the scripture, because I do that a lot, remember that God's word measures us. We don't measure God's word, right? And he tells us in Romans 12:2, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that we can test and discern what is the will of God, the good, pleasing, and perfect will. That's how we know what it is when we're in Scripture. When we think like the world, we begin to act like the world. And the way we don't think like the world is to think God's thoughts, and that's what's in Scripture. Okay? Now, the other thing about that is, as people, as women, true confession here is I tend to interpret my circumstances by what I see, not by what I know about God. And what I see and what I feel makes me interpret my circumstances, and invariably it'll be writing God out of the equation. We are to walk by faith, not by sight, because our sight can be confused, dimmed, blurred, whatever you want to talk about it. It can be distorted. And we start viewing God through our circumstances, not our circumstances through God. And that is a particular temptation, I think, for women, because we feel so deeply about stuff, okay? God is always up to something, even if we can't see it. We can trust Him to redeem and provide. Okay, the fourth thing is know the nature of the temptation, right? The temptation always distorts and deceives, and it distorts God's word. It tells us that sin isn't all that bad. It whispers in that voice to us, oh, Jen, what's one brownie in the big scheme of things? Or, oh, you can walk across that grass. I know there's a sign that says don't walk on the grass, but there's a whole path there. People have been in front of you. Not a problem. Of course you can do that on your own. You can actually do it better on your own than if you ask for help. Everyone's doing it. This is my personal favorite. Oh, yeah, I know what God's word says, but you're different. Your circumstances are different. And at least it's not as bad as, which just gets the whole comparison judgment thing going, right? And besides, this is the clincher. No one will ever know. Sin never stays where you put it. As we all know, it spreads. It infects other people. And it goes all around us. We just don't escape it. In fact, we should be grateful for the consequences, because they are the result of a loving and just God who doesn't want us to stray far from Him. And so he gives us these consequences so that we will turn to Him and come back to Him, okay? Now, attractive sins, I will just tell you, are the hardest to ignore because they look good. They don't look ugly to us. And that's what happens with sin, is we get accustomed to it and it starts to look normal. That's a temptation, is to normalize sin. So I'll give you a little bit of advice that I got from a man at Laity Lodge one time. He said, you will know you are lingering in the face of temptation when you start rewriting the script. Oh, I wish I had said this, or I should have said that, or the next time I see that person, this is what I'm going to do. When you start doing that, you know you're lingering in a place that God doesn't want you to linger. And he said, run away from that as fast as you can. Put some other thought in your mind, like Jesus is Lord, God is good, something, so that you quit thinking about that. Ask for help if you need to ask for help. We are meant to be in community. And then the last one, he said was so funny, and all the men died laughing. He said, look, don't crawl away from temptation hoping temptation will overtake you. He said, you need to run. I said, that was great for me. Okay, final, and this is the final thing, I promise. I said, how do you recognize you've been tempted into a choice you know is wrong and is against God's will? And what do you do about it? It's the same thing that Eve did. We recognize all the telltale signs from her and Adam. First of all, is knowledge. There's a loss of something. There's a conviction of the Holy Spirit. The second thing is guilt. I've done something wrong. The third thing is shame. I am something wrong. The fourth thing is blame, not taking responsibility, making excuses. Well, I did that because I had the best of intentions and blah, 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 blah. Right. Okay. Blame. The last one is hiding. If we are doing any of those things, it's God trying to get our attention, saying, turn around and come back to me. Now, before we close, I want to just remind you that temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Here is a formula for those of you who are math oriented. Temptation plus thoughts and feelings plus opportunity plus will plus action is sin. All right? And that chain can be broken any place along those links. I'll just give you an example from this week, which is so typical of me. The temptation was to do something myself, because after all, I can do it better and faster, right? The thought was pride. I can do this better than my husband can do it, so I'm just going to do it, right? The opportunity was when he came to ask me if he could help, and I'm like, it's going to be take so much time, and it's so, and I was so tempted to say no. I can do it. I got it. I can handle it. But that's when my will stepped in and said, Jen, this is the lesson the Holy Spirit is asking you to walk this week. And so I didn't act on that. I said, oh, sure, honey, that would be so helpful. And therefore, there was no sin. And actually, it turned out to be helpful, so just to let you know that. But that's the pattern that we get into, okay? The great news in this story is that God finds Adam and Eve. He covers them. He provides for them. While they do suffer the consequences of their sin, as we do down to this very day, he protects them from greater sin. And ultimately, he's going to provide the one that is going to do away with all this mess once and for all and make all things right. So the enemy is persistent and powerful. He uses deception. He uses temptation. Remember, we can't handle temptation on our own. And fortunately, we don't have to, because greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Jesus conquered sin and death on the cross. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are loved beyond our ability to even imagine. Our Savior is with us now and will never leave us. And that is the best good news ever that we find right here in Genesis 3 at the very beginning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you give us your word. Thank you that it is true. Thank you that it is powerful. Thank you, actually, that we even suffer temptation, because it strengthens us to live in a way that honors you. Father, as these women go forth into their small groups to discuss this incredibly rich and deep lesson, I pray that your Spirit will fill those rooms with your fragrant aroma of Christ, that they will have deep and meaningful conversations, and that your word will go in their ears and down into their hearts to change them, to transform them, to become more and more like your Son, Jesus Christ, who has given us the privilege of praying in his name. Amen.